we have not had the chance to meet before, my name is Micah. I'm part of our student ministry team here at LifePoint Westerville and part of our residency program here as well. Really quickly, if you're a 6th through 12th grader in the room, you have a 6th through 12th grade in the room as a parent, or you know a 6th through 12th grade student, I want to take a second to invite you to something we do here on Sunday nights from 6 o'clock to 7:30, and that is student life groups. Here at LifePoint, we believe in life groups as one of the primary ways of doing community together. And for you as a student, you get to do the same exact thing. So we meet here on Sunday nights, and we do three things together. We have some fun, we play some kind of game, do something together, just kind of break the ice, continuing to get to know one another. We dive into the reading and teaching in God's word. And then from that afterwards, the majority of our night we spend in life groups. Life groups is the time of the night where we come together, we talk about what God has taught us through the passage, what God's doing in our lives, how we can apply those things to our lives, and how we can continue to grow closer as a Christ-centered community. I'm a big believer that it's worth prioritizing in your life, and I think watching students like Isabel take steps in her faith is just super cool to see that God is moving. He is moving in our students right now. So if you're a student, you get to be a part of that. You get to join that community, and I definitely believe it's worth doing and worth prioritizing. If you have questions, if you've got comments, if you just want to know more about it, please, please, please come find me. Come talk to me. I want to do whatever I can to make you or your student feel comfortable and engaged on Sunday nights. So right now, we're going to dive into our teaching series called The Lord's Prayer. And in this series, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer. We're diving into this passage that Jesus given us on the Sermon on the Mount, which is all of Matthew 5, all the way through Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus' disciples come to him and they say, hey, how are we supposed to pray? Like, what are we supposed to do? And Jesus answers them and he says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I believe this is an awesome passage of scripture for us to recite from heart if it's genuine, if it's true from our hearts. But I also believe that we can use this as a template for our prayers. We can use this as a template and a model so we can form our prayers like this more specifically and more personally with our relationship with Christ based on what's going on in our lives. So that's what we're gonna talk about today. If you have your Bibles, join me. We're gonna be in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 this morning. If you have notes, I'd suggest you get those out. I'm a big believer in taking some notes. I would highly encourage doing that as well. While you're getting those out, just to share a little about me, I've got an older brother and I've got a younger sister. We spent the majority of our childhood in New Jersey. And New Jersey was great. I think about New Jersey and I think about just some awesome, sweet memories. And if you've been there, you know it's not because New Jersey's magical. It's its own state. I've heard it referred to as the trash can state. I like it, that's right. But growing up there with having two siblings, one younger, one older, was super cool because we had moments where all three of us got together and we were having a great time and it was a lot of fun and it was awesome. Then we had moments where it was all of us went to war with each other at different times throughout the week and you just never knew what was gonna happen. And then you had the times where it was two of us against one and the dynamic of three kids, it was always fun. But I remember one time in particular, the three of us were getting along. We were having a great time. We're all in elementary at this point, and we were running around playing on the playset, doing our thing, playing tag or something. I'm not quite sure. But I remember we're out there and our neighbors behind us, not directly behind us, but like catty corner behind us, had this little rat dog. And I don't remember what kind of dog it was. If it's like this big, to me, it's a rat dog. So they had a rat dog and this thing was just barking. It was just wailing its head off. And I remember thinking, that thing needs to shut up. So I yelled, hey, shut your dog up. Because the little girl, the little neighbor was out there and she's with the dog, they're running around. And she responded, no. So I was like, that's all right, that's fine. But I was like, I'm not gonna lose that easy. We're not gonna do that. So I rallied up my siblings and I was like, guys, I have a plan. Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go collect pine cones and we're gonna pelt them at this little kid and the dog. And my siblings were like, yeah, let's do it. So we were all down. We go down from the playhouse. We got what seemed like 100 little pine cones. I don't know if that was really that many. We go back up to the highest part of our playset, and we just start bombarding this poor girl with acorns. We're launching them. Like, take that. That's what you get, the whole thing. And out of the corner of my eye, I see my dad walk out of the house, and I hear, hey. And I was like, oh, no. My dad has one of those commanding voices that's just terrifying when he's serious. So he's like, hey, what are you doing? And I was like, we're throwing pine cones. So my dad called us into the house. He sits us down. He's like, What were you thinking? Why are you throwing pine cones at the little girl? And I remember thinking at that time, I was like, I don't really see anything wrong with what we're doing. I wanted the dog to be quiet. I don't really get why he's mad. This is fine, I guess. But he's obviously mad, so maybe I should not ever do that again. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, Dad, I'm sorry. And he was like, it's fine. You just can't throw pine cones at people. You can't do that. And I was like, got it. No more pine cone throwing, and it's okay. So that was the end of my pine cone throwing days. It was the one and done. Epic memory. I loved it. And that was it. Like, anticlimactic, but I remember I said it. My dad was like, you cannot ever do that again. You're forgiven. Boom, that's that. And I remember growing up, for me, I had a lot of memories of just doing dumb stuff, saying dumb things, and my parents looked at me like, wow, what was going through your head right there? And so many times I had to be like, Dad, you're right. Mom, you're right. I'm sorry, my bad. And they were like, you're good. And they did such a great job of just saying, like, hey, you're good. We forgive you. You just can't do that again. So for me, when I think about growing up, I think about some of those memories of receiving my parents' forgiveness, right? Of receiving their forgiveness of dumb things I've done, dumb things I've said, whatever it might be. And there's some light memories behind those. But I think for some of us today in here, when we think about forgiveness and receiving forgiveness, those memories aren't really light. We're not thinking about the memories of chucking pine cones at a little kid. We're thinking about some heavier things. There's some things that's weighing us down, that are burdens in our lives. And maybe it's not accepting forgiveness that we're thinking about. We're thinking about extending it, right? And the thought of extending forgiveness is frustrating, and it stirs up some bitter thoughts and bitter emotions and some anger, and it's not fun. And those are the things that tend to go through our head. I think what we see in the world today is that forgiveness is hard. It's tough. It's not easy. There's a lot of different situations that require forgiveness, and that's tough to give. So we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 today, and we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about forgiveness, receiving it, extending it, how we do that, and why we do that. So we're going to dive into Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 today. Before we do, I just want to pray for us. And I want to pray for our time together. So join me if you would. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity we've had to come together, to hear from your word, to hear from your truth. God, I pray that you can just help us just to set aside distractions that are going on in our minds and in our hearts, and just to fully stay focused on your word, that your word can just soften our hearts and just stay, just continue to grow. Father, get those distractions out of the way, get me out of the way, and just let your word shine through. God, we love you and we thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. So verse 12 says, we forgive us of our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And in my head, I see this as like part one and part two. Part one, and forgive us of our debts, part two, as we forgive our debtors. So we're just gonna pause and we're just gonna look at part one for now. And the word debt really stands out to me because I think about school bills, or whatever else you can think about. If you're in school, or you went to school, or you're going to school, you either know or are going to know what I'm talking about. It's that hefty amount that you gotta pay for the school because you got an education, right? And our debts, it's an obligation to give because of something. So the question is for us, like, what is our obligation to give God? It's like, forgive us of our debts, like, what does that mean? What did we do that we have debts? Here's what we see is that God gave us a standard of righteousness and holiness that we were supposed to live by. Like, we were supposed to live in perfect community with him. we were supposed to live up to a standard that he had given us, that we could be in perfect relationship with him. And what we see is that we disobeyed him. And because we disobeyed, now we have that debt, the weight of our sin. And it says in scripture that the wages of sin, the payment for our sin is death. Right? Because we couldn't obey God, now we owe God death. And I believe that means two things. One, it means a physical death, which we have all seen or experienced in some way here. And two, it also means an eternal death, right? A spiritual death. That means a separation from God in eternity, but a separation from God here on earth. That's what you and I deserve. And we see God knowing this. He sent his son, Jesus, to come down. He lived a perfect life. He lived up to those standards that you and I could not live up to. And he died on the cross for your sins and mine. You and I deserve to be on that cross, separated from God, facing physical death. Jesus paid that for us. He took our place and didn't just stay dead. He rose 3 days later, which is what we're gonna celebrate here soon in the next few days. Right? Jesus took our place. He took the place that I deserved. Like, he paid for our sins. So forgiveness isn't just our debts being wiped away. It's our debts being paid for. That's what forgiveness is. And we don't have to worry about this having to be paid for, you know, annually or monthly or biweekly or whatever else it is. We can recognize that our sins are paid for once and for all. It says in Hebrews 7:27, it says, he has no need like those high priests to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, since he did this once and for all when he offered himself up. So because he did this, because he gave himself in place for us, we're able to be in relationship with Christ in eternity, but also in this life right now. So then I think a question that comes from that is, so why do I need to ask for forgiveness? If Jesus is telling us to pray and say, and forgive us of our debts, if we've already been forgiven of those debts, why do I need to go and ask for forgiveness? Because that doesn't seem to make sense. Like, why do I have to do that? And I think that's a great question. Why do I need to ask for forgiveness when I've already been forgiven? And from that, the question in my head turns into, if we know we've been forgiven, we know we're going to be forgiven, then why wouldn't we go and ask for forgiveness? Like, why wouldn't we? Why would we hold those things back if we know we can go to God and ask for forgiveness and that we'll receive forgiveness? And I think it's one of two things. The first is that we may not be truly repentant of what we've done. And because of that, or I guess the cause of that might be we don't recognize the weight of our sin. Like if we're sinning and we're living in a way and we're saying like, it's no biggie, it's okay, I'll just wipe that under the rug. I'll just put this away for now, I'm sure it's okay. We may not understand the weight of our sin. And the typical pushback for that is, all right, Micah, listen, lying or gossiping is not the same as murder. Like they're completely different. We can all agree on that. But even though the earthly consequences for those sins are different, the eternal weight is still the same in the eyes of God. No matter what the sin is, whether it is something that we see as small as lying or gossip or something else, or something as big as abuse, manipulation, or murder, in the eyes of God, it is all equal. I was talking to Matthew Angel, he's our teaching pastor here, about this concept because it's interesting to talk about and to think about why this is the case. And we were sitting at a coffee shop one day and he's like, Micah, if I were to punch you in the face right now, which that put me on guard. I was like, I don't know if he's gonna punch me for the sermon illustration, but I was definitely like, what is happening right now? He's like, if I were to punch you in the face, not a lot would happen. Maybe I'd spend a night or two in jail. And that would be that. It'd be over. It's good. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. That's all right. He said then, if I were to punch the governor of Ohio in the face, big problem. But can we all agree? That's an issue. You cannot do that. SWAT team coming in, people on the roof, the whole nine yards. You cannot do that. And Matthew's point in saying that was, It's not about the sin itself, it's about who it's against. It's not about what our sin is, it's about who we're sinning against. Whether we're sinning in private and nobody's around and we're completely by ourselves, or whether we're sinning against another human being, our sin is a sin directly against God. And God is a perfectly holy, good, righteous, just God. He's done nothing wrong to us, and we have no reason to sin against him. So when we sin, we're sinning against God. So maybe you're here and you're recognizing, man, like there's been things that I've been holding back, that I've been not saying. What we also see from scripture is we don't have to panic or worry about if we've got unconfessed sins. We can go to the Lord anytime, confess those sins. And it says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's faithful and just to forgive us. We don't have to fear not receiving his forgiveness. We don't have to fear condemnation. Like we can go to Christ and ask for forgiveness, and we will receive forgiveness from Christ. And this is the radical idea of forgiveness that Jesus taught. We saw Jesus live out. He says, Father, forgive us of our sins. And then part two that we go to is, as we forgive our debtors. What Jesus is saying here is, forgive us of our debts, just like we are to forgive our debtors, those who have wronged us. And that's heavy. There is weight to that for sure. And this is interesting because this is the only verse of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus comments on. He says in verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I think this can seem frustrating or confusing to some of us. Maybe you've seen it over the last couple weeks of this series, because it doesn't really seem to make sense. It seems like what Jesus is saying here is, for me to have forgiveness, I have to forgive. I have to do this in order to receive salvation. Which doesn't make sense, because we see in scripture what is taught is that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. We are not saved by what we do. There's nothing we can do to save us. So what is Jesus talking about? What does this mean here? And here's what I believe Jesus means. For us to be able to extend forgiveness, we must have experienced forgiveness first. For us to be able to extend forgiveness, we must have experienced this idea, this radical idea of forgiveness that Christ has given to us. Forgiveness is the mark of a believer because we've been forgiven so largely, and we recognize that we can forgive largely as well. But I think there's some of us in this room, we've been following Christ for some years now. Maybe you're new to the faith, and if you are, that's awesome. Maybe you've been following Christ for years and years, decades, and maybe your whole life. And there's still aspects of your life you feel as if you can't receive forgiveness. And you know that because you say things like, well, if God knew what I did, or if God knew who I was, or if God saw this aspect of my life, he wouldn't forgive me. He couldn't. He wouldn't love me because this area is so ugly. And we say things like that. We really do. And then I think the comment that we typically hear back to people who are saying those things is, you have to forgive yourself. Like, forgive yourself of what you've done. But we don't see this idea of self-forgiveness in scripture. We don't see it anywhere. Going back to my school loans example, I think about it a lot, so I think it's a great example. If I were to go to the school, the Liberty University, where I got my education, you know, I walked over there, I said, hey, how are you doing? I'm Micah, nice to meet you. Hey, I know that I'm supposed to pay however many monies. You know, I've decided I'm gonna forgive myself of my debt. Like, I don't have to pay that anymore, I'm all good, I'm not gonna pay that, it's all, who authorized that? Oh, I authorized, yeah, it's all good, I could do. No, that wouldn't work, they look at me like I'm a moron. I can't do that, I can't go and say, I'm not gonna pay my school bills, that's not how it works. Right, in the same way, we can't forgive our own debts because one, We don't have that authority, but also two, our sins have already been forgiven. We have nothing to forgive ourselves of because we have been forgiven of everything we've ever done. And now what we need to learn to do as believers is live in that forgiveness God has granted us. On the flip side, if we're not living in that, what we're saying is my opinion of my sin and myself is higher than God's opinion of my sin and myself. And what we're saying is, God, I'm on the throne of this area of my life and you're not. Like what I say here, I'm the God of this area of my life and I say I'm not good enough to forgive. God is coming to us and saying, I will forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done. And for us to not sit in that forgiveness that he's given us is to say, I refuse it. We can sit and rest in this forgiveness that's been granted to us by God. And what we see in scripture is that there's no condemnation for those who find themselves in Christ. Like we're not facing guilt or shame or anything else. We've been fully forgiven and we don't have to feel the weight of it. We can rest in God's forgiveness. And when we learn to rest in this forgiveness that's so extreme and so radical in the eyes of this world, we learn to radically forgive others. So what does this look like for us today? Like, what does it look like for us to radically forgive as Christ has forgiven us? And as we talk about this, I wanna address that there's it's a spectrum of things. Because on one side, there's people in the room who what you have to forgive someone of is maybe breaking a promise they made to you. Right? They said they were gonna meet you for coffee, they promised at 8 o'clock, never showed. And you're like, man, that's hard. Or maybe it's something else, like somebody takes your idea at work and you're like, oh, like I was gonna say that. Right, whatever else it might be. On the other side, there's some things that have broken our trust to a little bit deeper of a level. You face manipulation in your life. You've been hurt by a parent. It's been a spouse that's broken your trust. There's levels of trust that has been broken in this room today that I can't even pretend to comprehend. There are things that are happening that I can't pretend to even know about or pretend like I've experienced. But again, I wanna remind us that in the eyes of God, sin is sin. Whether that sin is lying or breaking trust with a spouse or facing abuse or murder or whatever else it might be, in the eyes of God, all of our sin is the same, your sin and mine. And we've been forgiven of that. Because we've been forgiven of so much, we can forgive so much. So again, what does this look like to forgive when it's seemingly something that's slightly broken our trust or completely shattered it? First, I wanna start out talking about some things that forgiveness is not. First, forgiving isn't forgetting. Like we're not just completely wiping our mind of that thing. And that's not to say we're not forgetting so we can dangle it over that person's head so we can say like, oh, I remember when they did this. We're not doing it for that reason. We're doing this so we can remember the thing that we're forgiving. I'm forgiving this person of that. Right? It's not forgetting. Forgiveness isn't the promise of reconciliation. When we forgive someone of how they've sinned against us, how they wronged us, that doesn't mean we're promising to build that relationship back up. If it's possible, safe, and wise, then sure, that's great. That is an awesome goal. But that's not always promised. You may forgive someone and never build that relationship back to where it was, if at all. Forgiveness isn't saying that what was done to you is okay. Like it's not saying that this person wronged me in this way and they're justified by that, it's okay. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that we're letting ourselves be walked on, we're not letting ourselves be treated like a doormat. But forgiveness also isn't in a response to apology. Our forgiveness isn't a response to an apology. It can be, and that's great, but it shouldn't solely be. Because there's gonna be so many times in your life where you're gonna be wronged, you're gonna be hurt, maybe you have been wronged and hurt, and you're never gonna hear, I'm sorry. You're never going to hear, "Would you forgive me for doing that thing?" You're going to have that in your life. If we're saying, "I will only forgive this person if they apologize," what we're saying is that their apology is a form of payment for the debt that they owe us. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we're forgiving our debtors, we're not expecting an apology. Here's what we see from that is forgiveness takes one. Forgiveness just takes us. Our forgiveness should not be contingent on someone else's apology. It should be completely independent of it. We aren't waiting for that person to apologize. We aren't expecting them to. We're making the decision to forgive them. And that might be a hard decision to make. It might be tough. It may be a decision that starts out, you have to make yourself forgive that person daily. And maybe it's several times throughout the day. And eventually becomes weekly. And maybe weekly turns into monthly. Monthly turns into whatever else it might be. It's going to take time. You're not gonna go from "I forgive you" to completely good overnight. Right? Depending on the level of trust, depending on how hard it may be for us to forgive. But it's a choice we make. It's not a vibe. It's not a feeling. It's not a response. It is a choice that we make right now where we're at. And I think the thought is, like, that's not fair. The thought is, look, I've been hurt in such egregious ways. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've faced. I can't forgive this person of that because they hurt me in such ugly ways. It's not fair that that person doesn't want to reconcile the relationship. They don't care if what they did was wrong. They don't care about an apology. That's not fair. And maybe that's going through your head right now. And if you're thinking that, you're right. It's not fair. It's not fair for us to forgive when nobody has asked for forgiveness, when nobody has come to you with an apology, when nobody has said, "I'm sorry for what I've done." But that is exactly what happened to us. That's exactly what happened to you and I, because when God himself sent his son, Jesus, God in flesh, to live on this earth, he lived a perfect life. And he went to the cross for your sins and mine, died for our sins and paid for all our sins, all while we were still sinners. This was all while we were still enemies of God. He went to the cross and died for us. The reason we forgive largely is because we've been forgiven large. It's heavy. It hurts. I can't pretend to know like I know everything that's going on in this room. But man, we have been forgiven of such heavy things. We need to make the choice to forgive today. So as we go from here today, there's just a couple thoughts I want us to sit and rest on throughout the rest of this week. I hope we don't just leave and just put these things out of our mind, but we wrestle with it and chew on it for the rest of the week. The first thing is this, is who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive this week? And maybe that's a conversation you can have. If so, that's great. Have the conversation. Make the phone call. Schedule the meeting. Whatever you have to do. Right, who do you have to forgive? But you may never hear that, "I'm sorry." You may never hear, "Forgive me for what I did." Man, it's a choice then you have to make. Make that decision. It may be something that you have to do several times throughout the day. You have to tell yourself often, "Forgive this person, forgive this person." But we have to forgive. Second thing is this, is have you experienced God's forgiveness in your own life? And in this question, I see there's two groups in the room. The first is you've been following Jesus for some time. And going back to what I said, there's this one area of your life you're holding on to. And you just can't seem to let yourself let go of it. And you think things and you say things like, "Yeah, if God knew what I did, I he wouldn't forgive me." We see that we've been forgiven of our sins, all of them. We can rest in that forgiveness. And maybe that's something you need to go to God about. You need to ask him, Lord, forgive me of this thing. I know I am, but God, help me to experience that forgiveness in my own life. Help me to have this forgiveness in my life. We need to learn to live in God's forgiveness. For the second group, maybe you're in the room today and you've been learning about this Jesus, you've been hearing about it, but you've never made the decision to follow Christ. And there are things in your life that have been heavy, that have hurt, that have been weighing you down. But you've never made that decision to follow Christ. You've never experienced forgiveness, either from the world or from God. I'm telling you right now, you can make that decision to follow Christ. Because when we do that, we recognize our sins are forgiven. We're made clean. We're made new. And those things are wiped away. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. There's no guilt. We don't have to leave that weighing on us. When we come to Christ, we lay that at the cross and say, look, I'm forgiven. I'm made new because of what he did on the cross for us. And if this is something you want to have a conversation about, find me, find one of our staff members, a Next Steps team, whoever it is. Have that conversation. Don't leave without having the conversation. You can experience forgiveness today. So look, I know it's hard. Again, there's situations in the room that are tough. Our sins are equal in the eyes of God. And we have been forgiven of sins that should be resulting in our death, but they're not. And we can live in that, we can rest in that. When we learn to live in that and rest in that, man, we are able to forgive others of such large things that they've done against us. We forgive large because we were forgiven large. Let me pray with you. Lord, we love you, we thank you. God, thank you for the truth we get to see from your word. And Lord, I pray that we don't leave here forgetting what you've said, Father. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Help us just to rest with this week and wrestle with it, the things that are frustrating us. Help us to bring it to you. Help us to make the choice to forgive and help us to learn to sit in the forgiveness that you've granted us. You're a good God. We don't deserve to be in relationship with you, and we're so grateful that you sent your son to die for us, God. Father, we love you and we thank you. In your name.